It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Right back here on 96.5 The Fan in the 9 o'clock hour. Hopefully you're having a great start to your Monday. Looks like it's starting to kind of get nice out there.
Yeah, the sun's breaking through a little bit, right?
Like mid-50s, and then tomorrow night we get absolutely plummeted with storms.
Do you golf today, or is it too cold?
No golf. Kind of a loaded day today. Got a couple meetings. Got the show meeting. Got the Royals game. I don't want to miss that. That's it. If it was like, if the Royals game tonight was at 6, I'd probably have the opportunity to go out there and play. But kind of like that it's a 1 o'clock game for the way good. That our schedule is. Right, so you can hear all that action here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Royals. So,
breaking news from the football world.
Mm-hmm.
Stanford is hiring Frank Reich as their interim football coach for the 25 season.
Well, him and Luck have a relationship.
Do they?
Was he there? No, he wasn't there.
No, he wouldn't have been there.
Uh-uh.
And he was in Philly before that.
Because Luck's the GM.
Right,
he's the GM.
So he had some sort of...
Both sides have agreed this will be a one-season agreement. At that point, Stanford will launch a national search. Frank Reich, the save the day in Atlanta. I always liked him as a coach.
I like Frank Reich.
Yeah. I do, too.
Had a terrible situation in Carolina, obviously.
Yeah.
Was ran out of Indianapolis.
Yep.
And now he has an opportunity to go to Stanford and revamp himself.
Because I think he took over, if I'm not mistaken, the year that Andrew Luck retired, maybe?
So he was with the Colts as a coaching intern in 06 and 07, coaching staff assistant in 08, quarterbacks coach in 09, 010, and then was a wide receivers coach in 2011, so he might have been there for...
So 10 was suck for Luck.
Yeah, so that...
So 2011 was the first year.
He was there for 1 year with Andrew Luck.
That's it.
Yeah, as a wide receivers coach. So and they met there.
And then he went to Philadelphia after
went to
that?
Arizona, San Diego. Then he went to Philadelphia for a few years as an OC.
And then back to Indy.
And then back to Indy as the head coach.
Okay.
Yep.
And that's the year that Andrew Luck retired, though, I think was his first year. Because I remember having the conversation, goes, God, it sucks to be Frank Reich. You took that job thinking Andrew Luck was your coach, or Andrew Luck was your quarterback or coach. And then, like, days before the season, that cat quit.
Yeah, it would have been, you're right, that would have been 2018.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, and then obviously the year at the Panthers.
So now you're looking at a guy in Frank Reich who can have revenge on Andrew Luck and just kind of walk away in the middle of the Stanford season.
Yes, yes. Sorry, man. Got better things to do.
See you later. College basketball next Saturday going to be electric. All four number one seeds make the Final Four. I have no issue with this. A lot of people had said it was going to happen. It actually did happen. It's only happened for the second time in the history of college basketball. So for people that are like, this is the way it always goes, it's like, it's not true. Because obviously we know that's not true because they've only done it one other time, and it was in 2008, as Bob said, almost 20 years ago.
That's crazy to think about, too.
Right. All four number one seeds had made it. So I think it's interesting when you put that into perspective. Like, yeah, this has not been the greatest for, like, upsets and action. Would you say 11 upsets technically?
11 upsets the entire tournament. Crazy. Yeah. Smallest number ever.
Yeah, and I'm not, like, concerned that it's going to be, you know, because now what happens if if Duke wins by 20 against Houston, then it's just Duke's title. Like, we just should have known Duke was going to win it, which I think way back when, before I jumped on the St. John's bandwagon, of course, the 1-2 seed that doesn't make the Final Four.
Right, yeah.
I picked. The Likens trend continues of just being a terrible luck person. No, I will not be going to any of the Baltimore games this weekend. I'll let that play out on itself so you guys can have your own theories to that. I will not be in attendance Friday, Saturday, or Sunday for the Royals game when they play the big series against the Birds. But, again, this weekend, to me, should be an amazing Saturday full of basketball because it is the top seeds against each other to see who goes to the national championship. Here we are, the Final Four that we said, if you make it to the Final Four, house money moving forward. All four number one seeds are there. Do we still have the same argument that they're still playing house money being in the Final Four as the number one seed? Or for all these teams, is it championship or bust since all four made it?
I'm trying to think back to how I felt when all number one seeds were there back in 2008 and I was drunk, so I don't really remember that 2008 much because it was like we got married the weekend after and whatnot. Oh, wow. We're partying that whole week. And so,
That's fun.
I think it doesn't matter if you're all one seed. You made it to the Final Four. I think everybody's got house money. I do believe the more we've talked about it, making it to the Final Four in college basketball is akin to winning that quote-unquote national championship. You've made it there. Hey, let's go win it. We only got two more games. But you get a lot of street cred for making the Final Four in college basketball.
Yeah, it's like the promised land. I mean, I would be so happy if Tennessee had made the Final Four. I knew they'd get the crap kicked out of them against Duke the next week, but hey, made the Final Four. It's a rare thing in sports that it's not the national championship that is the end-all, be-all. Sometimes it's just the Final Four. Who would you say the most pressure... Who has the most pressure in the Final Four? Duke, yeah. John Shire.
Yeah, Duke. I mean, because John Shire wins it, now he can really start to separate himself from Coach K, right?
Get that away.
Now you can really separate yourself. Okay, this guy's got the best player. They won a national championship. Memories. Now we've got the new, you know, I don't think he can effectively move away from Coach K until he gets that first championship under his belt, fair or not. You're taking over for arguably the greatest of all time at one of the greatest programs of all time. You're always going to be judged based on that guy. And to flip that script and win a championship and have the best player, yeah, Duke's got all the pressure in the world. Everybody else, man, it is more house money than it is with Duke. They're looking at even odds right now.
I like this.
Respect the text.
From the 785, a buddy of mine sent me this. Wild times. In 2008, all number one seeds, San Antonio 4-5 and 4-7. 2025, all number one seeds, San Antonio 4-5, 4-7.
That's what we said earlier at the start of the show. Yeah.
So, I mean, it is interesting how that happens, how it's only happened twice, and the only two times it's happened is in the same location with the same number one seeds. I think we're going to be in for like a great Saturday night. I just really do.
Absolutely.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Duke blows Houston out. Maybe Florida blows Auburn out. I don't think that's the case.
No. I don't see Duke blowing Houston out. I think that's going to be a good game.
I think so.
Coming off back-to-back 20-game Baylor, and then they played Arizona, then they just played. So that's two out of their last three games they've won by 20.
Look, they've looked like the biggest badass in this tournament. It's not even close, right? Doesn't mean you always win it, though.
No.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's time to see if these freshmen show up when the lights are really bright and everybody's in San Antonio.
Yeah, and we were talking about it off the air, but Houston's one of those schools, like Auburn, you mentioned on the air, a lot of seniors, a lot of juniors. This is a veteran-laden team full of guards and guys who have been there and a great coach in Kelvin Sampson. So they're not going to come in scared of Cooper Flagg and John Shire
because
by any means.
You have four. Who do you think needs this championship the most? We talk about Shire getting out of the shadow of Coach K. Mm-hmm. Bruce Pearl, been around for a long time. Calvin Sampson's never won a national title. Mm-hmm. Here he is back-to-back Coach of the Year in the Big 12. And then there's this young kid from Duke. From Florida.
From Florida, yeah.
I don't even know who he is. So he's out of the conversation. I think Bruce Pearl's out of that conversation because I don't look – maybe I should look at him more as a great coach, but he's kind of third of those four. I'd like to say Kelvin Sampson is the guy that needs it the most, but I still think it's John Shire.
Yeah.
because Kelvin Sampson doesn't live in the shadow of anybody except Phi Slamma Jamma, and that was back in the early 80s, and nobody remembers that, right? That's out the door. I think it is Duke. I think it is John Shire. I really do, because if he wins, he's now in that different category.
He's set for life at Duke.
Oh, yeah.
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 It's the biggest brand in college basketball, maybe.
Yeah. I mean,
who would you argue that with?
Kansas,
no. North Carolina. That'd be kind of it, right?
Yeah.
UConn.
Because, I mean, you look at it like Tom Izzo falls short of the Final Four.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I was rooting for him.
Right.
I was rooting for him.
But Calvin Sampson, at what point are you going to take a team and actually win a title?
Yeah, that's a good point, too.
That's true.
Yeah. Because we've had good ones with Oklahoma.
Because we're talking about Barnes.
Yeah.
Right?
It's the same.
Can't get to a Final Four. Calvin Sampson, can you get to a national championship and can you win one?
I've never heard anybody say he can't win the big one, though. Like, he's in that category of not being able to win the big one.
But they came over to the Big 12 where they dominated before they got to the Big 12.
Uh-huh.
Comes to the Big 12. He's won National Coach of the Year of the Big 12 twice now. Yep. Or I guess Conference Coach of the Year in the Big 12. This is another team that he's taken Houston. And this year now, a lot of people said everyone slept on Houston.
Yeah.
It's Duke or it's Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Florida looked like the best team in the SEC tournament. That was the toughest tournament there was. And then here's Houston, just playing in the background. Just don't talk about us. And now they get big, bad Duke. Calvin Sampson handles business against Duke. It's like, okay, now can you go get it done? And can you complete your career as a coach where now you do have the title?
Yeah, because I feel like he's a guy that gets one championship.
Yeah, he gets the one. Yeah. And then he's set.
Yeah. He gets that one. That's all you need. It is.
I think the same goes for Bruce Pearl. I think if he wins one and he does it at Auburn, where, you know, the War Eagles not really known for basketball. They're good, right? You know, the Charles Barkley history.
Of course.
But that was 50 years ago.
That's a long time.
You know?
So I don't know. Yeah, I agree with Shire, though, because that shadow is massive. And the guy that you replace, it's like, look, when Bill won his title at Kansas, nobody remembered. Well, I say this. The Roy Williams shadow and the Larry Brown shadow was gone.
Dissipated.
And then it was like, and then it was just Bill Self's town. And it was like nobody thought about the past. Everybody was like, okay, we got Bill. He's a future. Move forward. Did win another one. Went to others. But still, that Shire shadow he's going to get out of would be very, very nice for him as well.
If Duke wins, if Duke beats Houston, I know this isn't a hot take, but they're winning it all. Houston's the last team.
That's the real national title. Tournament coverage here on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. Coming up, we'll replay that Vinny Pasquantino audio that was played after the game when Jonathan India got hit in the head, and we'll revamp what we think about that Class A throw. Not one, but two of them, and one hit him directly in the face. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
What's up, Kansas City? This is Jonathan India here, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Some breaking news out of the Kansas City sports world. Some of you saw the letter that was released by the Cauldron the other day. Sporting KC and Peter Vermees have agreed to mutually part ways. His tenure as the manager of the Sporting KC football club is over as of immediately.
The only way you mutually part ways, if you're the coach and you go to the organization and you say, I think it's time for a change. And I've heard coaches say that over the years. I've heard Dayton say that over the years. If I feel like I'm not getting the job done, I go and say it's time for a change and we need to do that. I'm wondering if Peter Vermees did that, because you mentioned the letter by the Cauldron yesterday. If you saw that on social media, the Cauldron, for those who don't know, and it's soccer, so it still may be new to a lot of us. That's the supporter group, right? That they make, you know, all the noise in the stadium, and they're the biggest supporters and all that kind of stuff. They wrote a letter yesterday demanding Peter Vermees be fired. And I look at that and I go, that's cool that they had that much pull and that much say and that much, you know, wherewithal to get the job done. It kind of works that way in soccer. Once the fans kind of lose the love for the coach or whoever it is, it seems like the teams do. You see that kind of internationally a lot. The fan groups have a big say in what goes on seemingly in the sport of soccer. Now, again, I am a neophyte soccer fan at best, but you just see things on social media. It seems like teams overseas have their fan group react. Mm-hmm. They make a move and they move the coach out. And so Peter Vermees is gone. Be careful what you wish for. Obviously things had gotten stale. No question about it, but Peter Vermees will go down as one of the great coaches in Kansas City sports history, man. He took a franchise that was the Wizards playing at Arrowhead and turned them into the premier MLS franchise that everybody else started to model their operation after. And so he's a great coach. He's a pioneer, and he's one of the best coaches that Kansas City sports had ever seen. And people forget they were the first champions in, 2012 when they won that first championship. And then the Royals came after them. The Chiefs came after them. Sporting KC kind of got this party started. And Peter Vermes did an amazing job of putting a soccer program on the map in Kansas City and doing great things. I've always liked Peter Vermes. I've always liked conversations with Peter Vermes. I think he should go coach Team USA because we're struggling to find a coach there. Always thought he'd be great for Team USA. So you thank Peter Vermes for everything that he did because he was a badass for so many years. The last couple just haven't been great, you know?
Two things. One, this is from Todd Palmer of 41 KSHB. I can confirm that Sporting KC and Peter Vermes had mutually parted ways. Sam McDowell first reported it at the end of an era for the club, which had a tremendous success under Vermes during the 2010s, but the result had fallen off in recent years. Of course, we mentioned this, the release that the Cauldron gave out, basically like, enough is enough and it's time for a change, is basically what they said. Like, it's been bad. You mentioned, I think, last week that they hadn't won since September 28th of 2024.
Yeah. Is that really what it's been?
Like
since
10 straight losses. They had a draw last week, but yeah, that's about it.
Yeah.
The other thing is it kind of gives me, and maybe I'm wrong with this because he never won anything, but kind of similar to Marty. Like Marty was there for a while, had a lot of wins, kind of put the Chiefs back on the map, but then always fell short in the playoffs. I don't know if they, I know he was fired.
Right.
But I mean, it seems like it's one of those things where like, yeah, we had a lot of fun with it. It was a good time, but it's not happening the way we want it to happen, and now it's time to go away. And a lot of people had, I think, mixed emotions about Marty getting fired from the Chiefs. It was like, let's bring somebody who can win the playoffs because time is, you know, running. You got to do it sometime.
Yeah.
And if you can't do it, you need to do it now, or we'll find somebody else who can. And the years after Marty, obviously not the greatest, but then obviously you found Andy Reid, and everything's been great since.
Yeah.
So there can be something that can come out of this that is super positive, but it also, like you had mentioned, like, you remember the times that Vermes did and what he built here and what he had here. And then, again, no wins since September 28th of 2024. 10 straight losses, one draw in there. That's just that's just not acceptable.
The guy's been around 20 years that's at this program, dude. Like, 20 years in sports. I mean, the only person who has outlasted him is Bill Self. I mean, Bill's been there since 03. And Lawrence, Peter Vermes took over in 06. Andy Reid took over in 13. You know, Quatrero took over 2 years ago. Like, he's been here forever. I mean, he's your second longest tenured, you know, coach locally in the major sports. And so now that he's gone, he moves on. But I mean, he did unbelievable things. I mean, they built that program from zero and got it to be the premier program in all of MLS. Now they haven't been doing it lately. And it's a, what have you done for me lately world? You've got to continue to find ways to win and get the job done. And I like to think Mac's part of the problem and why Peter Vermes got fired today, because you mentioned that stat on the air. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. My bad, Peter.
And I haven't been to a sporting game. So like, maybe if I go, they win.
They win.
There we go. Yeah, reverse the jinx.
I think I've been to one.
I've been to a few.
That's when the stadium first opened. Yeah, you know, it's not my jam. I've been to that stadium for other events.
I will
and
also
things,
say but they are not the soccer team in this town.
No, they're not. The current.
Thousand percent.
Yeah, and it's not even close.
And,
and that probably has an impact too.
I mean, you're seeing what they're doing, right? They played at a high school field that was crummy, built a stadium. Everybody complained about parking. They had one of their best years. Obviously, it's a young franchise. Last year, and so far this year, what, 3-1, 3-0?
Yeah.
They're just storming right back into it.
The stadium's great.
And the stadium's awesome. And wait till that, I mean, the development that's going to be down there, too. It's going to be like 119th and Knoll. It's going to be awesome, right? Okay. And so you've got all of that going on over there. You've got the amazing stuff that they've been able to accomplish. And they really have taken over the soccer world in this town. But you know what? Peter Vermes and Sporting Kansas City, they had an opportunity to hold on to it. They could have held on to it, but they didn't. They dissipated, man. I mean, like, really, like, dissipated in a big way off the sports scene in Kansas City when there was a time they were the number one team because the Royals couldn't get out of their own way. The Chiefs, I mean, that was the 2-14 type stuff that was going on with Todd Haley. And so the Sporting KC soccer club was winning. Everybody kind of matriculated over there. And then once they stopped winning, everybody, you know, went back to baseball and football. Once it's you got to win, man. You got to win in sports. It doesn't matter what the sport is. If you're winning, you're going to have, you know, people support you. And they stopped winning and their supporters stopped supporting.
Yeah, because, I mean, you look at the teams. It's Chiefs, it's Royals, it's Current, it's Sporting KC. because we break the news that was announced today via the article of Sam McDowell. Sporting KC has parted ways with one Peter Vermees as their manager of their football club.
But if you go 12 years ago, you've got probably Sporting number one, the Royals and Chiefs battling it out for number three, and the current didn't even exist.
They were a imagination and a mind.
Yeah.
That actually panned out pretty well. So I do insist a lot of you go out there and watch a current game. It is amazing. And it's fast.
Yeah.
You're there and gone in like 2 hours.
Right. Yeah, it's great.
What the hell just happened? Is there a pitch clock? Get it? Because it's a pitch? Okay. enough is enough. It's time for a change.
Yeah.
You gotta move on. You gotta get out of that, you know, bad look shadow. Go try to be something. Go bring in somebody, a new face in a new place with a new voice. Maybe they react differently, and then all of a sudden they'll win their first game and everybody will be bought in. Be like Romeo Crennel over again.
Right. We'll see, what happens.
I kid.
And whatnot. Yeah.
Because I remember Romeo Crennel won that game against the undefeated Packers.
Rack City, man. It was great. You never hire the guy that players want. They never work out. They just know those coaches never, ever work out. Kerry Zavagnin has been promoted as the interim coach, and we'll see where they go. Okay. From here, ask me who they should hire, and I'll tell you, I have no idea. But I do know Tyreek Hill is now firing back this morning on X, formerly Twitter.
Speaking of time for a change.
Yeah, NFL rumors. Tyreek Hill reportedly would be okay if the Dolphins traded him to a playoff contender, is the tweet. Tyreek Hill, quote, tweets it, LOL, another false narrative. And then Joe Shad, who covers the Dolphins, quote, tweets Tyreek Hill's tweet and says Tyreek Hill cites, quote, false narrative. Tyreek Hill was very active on X yesterday, liking things and putting up peace signs and smiley faces and all that kind of stuff. I hate players like Tyreek Hill who do stuff like that and then want to blame everybody else. He sucks. He really does.
Hill. Who gives a rip?
Yeah, at this point in time, a loser. Like, seriously, man, you put all that stuff out there yesterday. Don't do that if you don't want people to talk. You're as narcissistic as Aaron Rodgers.
Last I checked, he was on a playoff team.
Well, he said
was offered a contract and then decided to take away from that contract and go get paid, and now he wants to win it. Weird,
right?
That's like horseradish.
Yeah, like I don't understand how he thinks that the guy he's playing with right now is better than Patrick Mahomes, but now wants out, but doesn't want out.
Well, it needed to be said.
It did. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is this a false narrative because the Dolphins came back and go, please stay, Tyreek. Here's more money for the children.
Well, I don't believe anything now that the Myles Garrett situation happened.
Well, God, no. I mean,
burn me once.
Oh, you released a statement. Oh, okay. I'm going to believe what that is. You know?
Yeah. No, I don't. I don't. Yeah. Now I'm just like, whatever. Like Myles Garrett, he wants to win. Kind of.
Right, yeah. Oh, you're going to pay me how much? Oh, okay, fine. Cool.
I'm in four games a year.
Yeah. Speaking of somebody who maybe wants to win but needs to win, MJ Melendez and Hunter Renfrow, right? These are our guys that we talked about early on in the year of, like, short leashes.
Mm-hmm.
There's a chance, and I didn't think that I would say this, that MJ Melendez might not have the shortest leash on the team. Vern joined us earlier and said that Sam Long may not even make this team by the end of May.
Mm-hmm.
And now everybody else has kind of brought this up, including Vern today, is that, like, if you can't hack it at the plate, give us a reason why we need to keep you around. That's got to be your arm and your defense. Can we all agree that what we've seen so far is an embarrassment of a right field arm? Because last I checked, I would think that most right fielders in baseball can throw out Carlos Santana tagging on a mid-range fly ball to right. And if you can't do that, and now you've given teams an opportunity to go out there and be like, anytime we have a runner at third, just hit the ball to right and we're going to score, you cannot have that in your outfield. And I think that Hunter Renfrow, some would say because of the contract, he has a longer leash. I would say because of what he's shown so far with a, you know, well below average arm, one hit that literally Kwan dropped in the sun, so he gets credit for the double. Whatever, it's a double. It's in the stat sheet as a hit. Congratulations. But if that continues in right field, and not only can you not hit, not only can you not play defense, and not only do you not have an arm, you will not be on this team that needs to be a playoff team that believes they are a playoff team.
Well, I think right now the old adage has been for the Royals over the years, do one thing every day to help your team win, right? That was one of the mantras that Dayton had, one of the things that Ned followed. I believe JJ follows that at all. Do one thing every day to help your team win. Okay, has Hunter Renfro done that in the two of the three games he played? Because he was nowhere near the lineup on Saturday.
They
ran from him on Saturday, and then Sunday came, and we saw that attempt to throw out Carlos Santana.
He couldn't throw out Sid Bream.
I know. I mean,
like, we joked about it, and it happened again.
Okay, so now we've got two games. We're starting to get a little case study of what Hunter Renfro can do and what Hunter Renfro can't do. Mm-hmm. And if I'm just being reactionary and judging based on the weekend, which that's all we have to judge on right now, I think Hunter Renfro has to be on a shorter leash than Marv. I mean, I really do. I mean, I think Hunter Renfro is not able to hit, you know, got that double that lost in the sun or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that defense that he played on Thursday and then the throw that we saw again yesterday, that's borderline brutal. And mm-hmm. if you're going to play defense like that, then you have to be on a team like the Yankees with their torpedo bats scoring 20 runs a game. But when you're on a team like the Royals that doesn't score a lot, doesn't have a lot of those big bats in the lineup like some other teams do, you've got to be sound on defense. And if Hunter Renfro can't get the job done for me on the defensive side of the ball, his leash becomes infinitely smaller than the one that Marv has.
Like, I understand that if, like, you know, Kwan scores, or even Ramirez, who's got some wheels for a big guy.
Right.
Like, they score. Carlos Santana, right? Not the guitar player, mm-hmm. who probably also could score from third on Hunter Renfro's arm right now. But at least, as much as there is that frustration with MJ Melendez, at least he can play above average defense in left field. Like,
right.
He bases loaded, popped up, frustrated as all hell. You know I was rolling in my live grave in my house watching that game. But at least, like, he'll go out there and make a play, or he'll, you know, not be a liability in the outfield as of right now.
Mm-hmm.
But again, when you're not contributing in any way, shape, or form to a team that needs, in a small market, everybody to somewhat have some sort of contribution. Like, we went to the Royals Roundtable at Hollywood Casino, great event. Mm-hmm. Kyle Isbell's a safety. With what was it that Michael Massey kept seeing, like brain damage.
Right,
like, he's
yeah.
like, this guy's just crazy, right? He took a fastball off the face last year, broke his schnoz, mm-hmm. went out there with a face guard and played again, then hitting the wall on the outfield. The guy's crazy, but he gives you play, right? He gives you hustle. He gives you that ability to, like, roam center field, and he's also been a coach to Michael Garcia that we heard in the broadcast this weekend. Michael Garcia hit a home run to put the team up, did something productive, mm-hmm. right? If you're not doing diddly-poo and you're costing your team runs as well, I don't know how much longer that leash can be for Hunter Renfro, especially what Vern said. Yes, Dusty, I hear your mind going. And somebody in the text line is like, Dusty, I thought about you all weekend when I saw this play in the outfield because of what Jack Caglione could have. His journey starts the 4th,
mm-hmm.
right? His journey will start Thursday in Northwest Arkansas. And I can guarantee you we will continue to put his stats of every game up on that board and see what he's doing and see what his journey is, because stuff like this will expedite that move, because we said at the beginning of the season it would have to be a catastrophic injury or somebody has to completely underperform. Right now, that person completely underperforming is Hunter Renfro in right field.
And it's standing out, too. It jumps out. Like, it's not like we're looking for, oh, well, he just, you know, he misplayed that. No, I mean, it's been three plays on Thursday and then that throw yesterday. That's a lot. That's a big sample size of Hunter Renfro not being able to play defense out in the outfield. But to me, it all comes back, really, to the health of Michael Massey. Him staying healthy and being able to stay in that lineup allows you not to have Marv and Hunter Renfro in there at the same time, because Michael Garcia now can be a player. You can play India in the outfield. You can play him at third. You can play Garcia at third. You can play him in the outfield right now. So you've got options right now. As long as Michael Massey stays healthy, and obviously India is a big question mark as well, but as long as Michael Massey stays healthy, it does help you in your lineup where you don't have to have Melendez and Hunter Renfro in the lineup at the same time. And that gives you more of a productive bat out there and probably a better defensive lineup right now than what Hunter Renfro is bringing to the table.
No doubt about it. But the biggest story, unfortunately, this weekend was the dangerous situation we saw of Jonathan India that you had mentioned. We'll find out if he's in the lineup a little bit later. But this was Vinny Pasquantino on the situation that was the end of the game to the media.
My view of it was watch him get hit in the face. I'm still kind of collecting my thoughts on it, but he threw a pitch that he doesn't ever throw, the pitch before, which was a four-seam fastball. It was his first one of the year. And then the next pitch, they, you know, trying to come back up and in with the next pitch. You know, and you got to get it. You're trying to let a pitch ride and It didn't, and it hit him right in the face after almost hitting him in the face the pitch before. So obviously I'm upset by it. I'm more upset for John because, I mean, we don't know what's going on with him right now. So it sucks, and I don't think there's any – do I think there was intent behind it? Absolutely not. He's trying to go close the ball game, finish the ball game. It did happen, and that sucks a lot. And it felt like there was a lot of and again, scouting reports, different ways of pitching. You got to own the inside part of the plate. It felt like we were moving quite a lot this weekend. Again, I don't think there – I know there wasn't any intent behind it, but felt like there was no adjustment made there, and that's frustrating. But, again, they beat us. Hats off to them. Just a suck – you know, it's a sucky situation.
That is Vinny Pasquantino, your first baseman slash DH, off to a great start.
He's been great this year, right? How good has he been?
How awesome was it to watch him leg out that triple?
I felt painful. So bad for that. Yeah, one word. I was like watching him. I'm like, go Vinny. Just don't pull up limping. Just, you know, if you get thrown out at third, whatever. I won't get mad.
That slide looked like me trying to teach the kids in softball how to slide years ago. Just
he looks so
fall down.
Dead afterwards. He's like, huh. But look, I'm with him there. And Vern kind of, you know, let the dust settle a little bit. He's like, you know, he did it right.
Like he's 7 to 10 minutes right after the situation has happened. And he's going to the media. And right out of the chute, he's like, you know, it hit him in the effing face.
Yeah.
Like you don't hear that a lot from players using, you know, explicitives, you know, in interviews. Sometimes you do, but it's merited that way. I'm sure if you were to go to the Pistons or the Timberwolves locker room in this past weekend, you'd have heard some guys cussing in that brawl that we got finally in the NBA. Your dad's NBA's back. But I think,
if you can't entertain us with the product, entertain us with the fighting.
Yeah, we got fighting is leading the NBA right now. You got Stephen A. and LeBron, and then you've got the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Detroit Pistons.
What's going to keep more people talking about the NBA? Brouhahas or some guy shooting a shot?
Sell. But no, you look at this game that happened, right? And I think there's a lot of BS here because if you are working on a pitch that you don't feel comfortable with, why are you not throwing it to like a Kevin Biggio? Why did you wait after you had two outs? Because to me, when you have confidence and it's starting to come back, you stick with what gets you there. You stick to your bread and butter. Like if you're having trouble with the deep ball, maybe to get back onto the deep ball is to get that slant route down that you know that you can throw and then your confidence kind of comes back, right? You wouldn't be shooting a good round of golf and then be like, you know what? I'm going to try to hit this 2-iron all of a sudden. It's like, what? Why would you do that? You're shooting 2-under. You're going into the 17th hole, where if you just par out, you have the greatest round of your life that you may never do again. Give me the 2-iron. Let me see if I can hit it. I want to get my confidence back because it's up right now. No, you stick with what you can do and you stick with what you're doing. Two outs, Jonathan India, fastball to the face, doesn't hit him. Next pitch, fastball to the face, does hit him. And then guess what? You face the second best baseball player in the game and you struck him out with what pitch?
Mm-hmm.
Not the one you hit India with. So yeah. I call a little bit of cap there. And in 2 weeks, we're going to get this rematch. And we're going to see what the Royals do because I do think you have to retaliate. I am not advocating for headhunting, but I am advocating for maybe one of their players, maybe the guy that had the weird porn stash that went deep on you twice, big time deep.
Yeah, that guy.
Maybe Mudvayne or whatever his name is. Maybe you give him one in the back pocket just to let him know you're here. Not that you're this kid. It's like, well, he hit you in the face. What can you do about it? Just go to school the next day. No. If he hit you in the face, you need to let him know that you have a presence, that you're there. Again, I'm not saying go put one on someone's ear hole. I'm saying put one in someone's back pocket, whether that's Jose Ramirez, whether that's Stephen Kwan, who you just can't seem to get out ever.
That guy's awesome. How much do you want Stephen Kwan on your team? Like, he's that guy that I kind of look
he's
at.
Their
like,
base setter.
I mean, that guy's tremendous, man.
They go him, Ramirez, just like in San Diego, they go Tatis and Arise.
Oh, God, that team too.
Yeah,
I mean Stephen Machado. Kwan, I love watching Stephen Kwan play.
But you've got to let somebody of their significance feel it.
Yeah.
Because yes, they're mad that he's on the base pass, but two outs, ninth inning. Why now?
Yeah, because I'll take the kind of the Vern approach on this one and say this was a guy who got destroyed in the postseason, coming off a great year. Then, you know, you go into the offseason and your memories are, oh my God, they were able to hit me. I've got to do something different. So you work on a pitch all winter. You develop a new pitch all winter long, which is what these guys do all the time. I mean, Lugo's got 18 of these things, right? So everybody works on new stuff. You work on new stuff during spring training. You didn't have the opportunity in the first game because it was a close game to maybe try out this new pitch. You get two outs quickly in the ninth inning. You're like, all right, let me see if I can throw this thing. Obviously, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to go back to the drawing board and figure this thing out. I do think it's the right time to try something new if you're Class A, because you've got to see if this pitch works. You're never going to see if a pitch works or anything like that in practice or in a bullpen session. So you got two outs already in the ninth. You're up by four. Let me see if this pitch can work. Oh, it got away. Let me try it again. Oh, my God, it really got away. I don't have control over this thing. I can't throw this again until I can figure this thing out. So I think it was the right time to try something different. Just know that you did not have success with that pitch, and your ass better be back in the bullpen working on that pitch until you realize you can have success. But again, he'll never know if he can have success until he throws it in a game. So it's like it's just a vicious cycle. Hopefully it's against somebody else next time he tries to throw that
and
pitch.
It doesn't hit somebody in the head.
Yeah, and in the head, exactly, right.
But respect.
I was just going to say, I don't want him to develop that pitch, though. How much better is Class A going to be if he's got another pitch now that he can
get
to?
Without it.
Yeah.
Respect the text.
From the 913, let's get the Cauldron to write a letter to DFA Hunter Renfroe.
I like that. Why do soccer fan bases get stuff done? You know, like in the NFL, we're flying banners. We're doing all this kind of stuff.
How much money is in sponsorship with soccer? Who shows up every day?
Yeah, the supporters do. Yeah.
They don't care if you show up in the NFL games. Guess what? They're still going to make a ton of money.
Yeah.
So the hell with what you have to say. Coming up on the other side, we'll get to our brioche of the weekend on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Take it away, Bob.
All right. I want both of your reactions on the air. This comes from our friend Andy Slater down in Miami.
AC's dad?
It is AC's dad, yes. AC's son, actually. Many Major League Baseball players have ordered torpedo bats over the past few days after seeing Yankees' success. A source at Chandler Bats representatives tells me it takes up to 4 weeks for the bats to be custom made. Quote, we have international and high school players reaching out as well.
Wow. Hell yeah.
That's the smart thing to do.
Yes.
I love it, man. Why are people up in arms over these torpedo bats?
Because it's baseball and nothing can change.
It is 149 years old. Mm. We're finally changing the bat.
And I can still smell the fresh paint.
It's crazy that no one thought of this. It just seems so simple. Just move some wood up the barrel. There you go.
Done. I love it.
It's awesome.
Anything that increases offense in sports, that's what people want, right? We want to see scoring. You want to see home runs. You want to see runs scored. You want to see fun. Who's going to be the first Royal to have a torpedo bat? It's got to be Marv, right?
It should be him.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got to be Melendez. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Him or Renfroe? Renfroe needs a torpedo arm.
Yeah. Can you replace arms? Can you order an arm?
If worms had machine guns.
Right.
If Renfroe had a machine gun for an arm, Santana would be afraid of him.
But it's got to be Melendez who's going to have
but
that.
But they've been around forever.
Your mission awaits. You've got the new Torpedo Blast.
Incoming.
You're ready to rock.
Fire Bandit Torpedoes. You're right, kid. Bring it home, guys.
Torpedo Blast set, Bandit set, submergible set, and original torpedo, each sold separately.
Each sold separately.
That's right.
Let's get into the brioche of the weekend.
Brioche of the weekend.
Big brioche guy.
Love that. Yeah, good take.
All right, I'll start this off because nobody cares about golf, but I do. The Masters is 1 week from this Thursday. Can't wait. Download the app. That's the only way you can watch it for the first 2 days. Minwoo Lee is my brioche of the weekend. The man absolutely wrecked the golf course on Saturday. Also, shout out to Gary Woodland.
Yeah, how about this one? This is a great story, right?
Yeah, Gary Woodland, obviously, you remember he had the brain surgeries from Wichita, Kansas. Big KU alum, was on the full swing season this past season. Great episode. Had a course tie the course record yesterday with a 62. But Minwoo Lee, right? You remember back in the day when Tiger wasn't in the lead, but on Sunday, all of a sudden, Woods would go up the leaderboard,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden, those guys, when they get to like every third hole, they see that big scoreboard, or they hear those roars, mm-hmm. and they start to forget how to play golf. This was going to be that path this Sunday for Minwoo Lee, the Australian, who plays with a watch on. Never seen that, but that's fine.
Huh.
Advertisement in its finest. Go get yours.
Heck yeah.
But he started to kind of lose himself on the course, had a one-stroke lead, goes into 18, hits his approach shot over the green. His caddy looks at him and says, hey, I trust in whatever you're feeling. Do whatever you want to do. Pulled out the flat stick. We call that a putter. And he put it within 2 inches of the hole, won the tournament, won it. Wow. Scottie Scheffler, the Grim Reaper, right behind you. You did not let him come back out on the course, and you prevailed. You survived one Scottie Scheffler who's been doing things that we haven't seen since Tiger Woods' run back in the day. And so shout out to Minwoo Lee, the Brioche of the Weekend. You won that Houston tournament. It's a big confidence boost going into what is the Masters in 2 weeks. So you survive Scottie Scheffler. You win on the tour. You get a nice payday. And now you qualify for many, many more tournaments. The young Australian looking good early on in the golf season as he prevails over Scottie Scheffler, who was on the come in that tournament. Also with Gary Woodland, who's a minor brioche of the week, and maybe the Hawaiian roll brioche.
Oh. Yeah.
Also very solid. But of course, tie the course record, and Gary Woodland, I will always root for him. Local, great story, and just absolutely hits the piss out of a golf ball.
Mac, who you got for your brioche of the weekend?
I mean, the whole weekend was really great. If I had to choose one, Friday night was awesome, man. Friends, dad was in town, fiance came to the casino, got to meet all you guys, ate some food, and then just hung out, played blackjack, lost some money, but watched some great basketball, hung out, drank some brews. It was awesome.
Okay.
It was dope.
Yeah.
Never doing the electric blackjack table again, though. Didn't like that.
Wasn't a fan?
Wasn't
a fan.
The electric blackjack table.
Yeah.
It's like video. It's like video poker, but video blackjack.
No. Yeah. Don't like that.
I had a rough, did I tell you this story yet? Sat down at the blackjack table. $100 buy-in.
How long were you up?
No, dude, listen to this.
No, I'm like out of the seat.
Oh, this is hilarious. Sat down. Two of my buddies were playing on the other side.
Uh-huh.
First hand, I had 20, dealer, blackjack.
Of
no
course.
Insurance.
Oh, God.
Next hand, I get 19, dealer, blackjack. Oh. No insurance. Yeah. Very next hand, I get 20 again. Dealer hits 21 on the next card.
Oh, my God.
Gosh. Bang, bang, bang. Oh. All my friends are in tears and laughter.
Oh, my
so
God.
So I am just bad luck everywhere.
Oh, my God.
That is actually
that's literally
impressive.
How it went. It literally, it was 21.
Wow.
It was like 21 Savage. 21. Dealer has. And she even did it. When she flipped that third card over, she was like, oh.
She's like, I'm so
she,
sorry. Like,
she, oh, yeah. She felt remorseful. That's right.
Yeah, that's time to go. I'm with you on that, man. That sucks. For me, I'm sending it out to my my buddy Jeremy, who we celebrated his 50th birthday over the weekend with a surprise party. And Jeremy and I were in college together. He's created one of the great companies in Kansas City called DSS. They do concerts and stuff all over the country. They're an amazing company. But more importantly, Jeremy's an amazing person who does nothing but think of others and is always constantly giving back, thinking of other people, doing things for everybody else. And so Saturday night was a great time to celebrate his 50th birthday party and celebrate Jeremy, who does a great job of, you know, celebrating others and always has been kind of that way. We've known each other for probably 30 years now. So Jeremy, I know it's not till April 9th, but still happy 50th birthday. And I'm glad we got to be part of your special night for as much joy that you bring to everybody else in this world, man.
Pretty awesome that Pearl Jam wrote a song about him too.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. It was fantastic. Yeah.
So shout out Eddie Vedder. One of the coolest guys ever. That's a guy I'd hang out with. I'd go to a Cubs game with Vip and Eddie Vedder.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. Of course it would be. They did somewhere. Was it Cubs games or somewhere? I think they did like an Eddie Vedder like theme day.
It had to be Cubs games.
Yeah, because
it was
a huge... Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody said their brioche of the weekend was watching KU baseball sweep OSU Cowboys.
Big sweep, yeah.
There you go.
Did they hit paying attention
17
to
home runs again?
They did or the Yankees did?
Both.
Are they using those bats up in Lawrence, those torpedo bats?
Torpedo metal bats?
Are they really like
could baseball
you imagine
fun?
That? Oh, my God.
I would not go. I would not want to be in the stands, let alone in the outfield or a pitcher.
I mean, that would be crazy. Seriously, when you think about like the metal bats with the...
Home Run Derby is going to be electric this year if everybody gets to use a torpedo
bat.
They
should be using the torpedo bats.
That is the week in a nutshell. By the way, if you missed the breaking news earlier today, Peter Vermees and Sporting KC have mutually agreed to split ways. Mm-hmm. There will be a new manager in the future. But again, guy had a tenured here, put the team on the map. It just ended kind of sour. Maybe one of the texts we got earlier, a little similar to the Andy Reid experiment in Philadelphia.
Yeah, where it got to the point where it was, you know,
time
over. It was time to change. It was time for a new voice. It was time for somebody different. And, you know, we could give our brioche to Peter Vermees for creating a soccer club here in Kansas City in a town that you know, didn't have much soccer history, if you will. It had the Wizards, and they switched over to Sporting KC. They built that soccer-only stadium. They built the best facilities. Peter Vermes was a true pioneer and still is a true pioneer in the MLS and put Kansas City sports kind of on the map, gave us something to cheer for all those years when the Royals and Chiefs stunk out loud, you know, and they kind of filled that void, and they did an amazing job with the stadium and the team and the colors and making themselves a relevant franchise. And so it's just run its course, you know?
Yeah, we need a torpedo driver for the golf game, says the 816. I would love that. So Peter Vermes news, Vinny Pasquantino audio. The Royals playing today at 1 o'clock, 1:10 first pitch in Milwaukee. Probably will be an emotional day in Milwaukee. Bob Uecker.
Yeah.
They got a signature in center field. They mowed it into the grass. That's awesome.
That's cool. So cool.
Time to go ruin somebody's day.
Yeah, that's 100%. Exactly right. Let the ceremonies happen at the beginning, be appreciative of all that kind of stuff, and then go out there and beat Pat Murphy and the Brewers, man. Like, go take care of business. They just got smoked by the Yankees, so you know they're coming home, and they're probably not real happy about what took place in New York. I think I saw the stat. They gave up 32 runs in less than 24 hours.
Jeez. Oh. But hey, man, not everybody has a great day. Sometimes people have tough days, but you can go do something nice for somebody on those tough days, because you never know. It could change their week, their day, their month, their year. It's simply cool to care. Kansas City. Stay kind, stay safe.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave, enjoy the Kansas City Royals in a day game, but also coming up next, it's Cody Golden Drew from 10 until noon. And then Vern takes over on the On Deck Show here on 96.5 The Fan. Talk to you tomorrow.